back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon looks scary good to me. Can they keep it going? Is it their year? We'll talk about it later in the program. We'll visit with the beat reporter who covers Penn State. Ed Greaney, sports columnist, Las Vegas Review Journal, and a guy that has been a longtime friend of this show and obviously covers all of Las Vegas. He also hosts a show on ESPN Radio in the mornings there in Vegas. Here to talk about UNLV, Boise State, the rematch, among other things. Is that moving the needle there, that UNLV-Boise State rematch?
It's moving the needle in Las Vegas, I'll tell you that. I've been here a long time, Don, and I've never seen kind of the interest and passion in UNLV athletics, even during the time I was here and Lon Kruger was going to the Elite Eight in basketball, and basketball is, you know, actually going to the NCAA tournament. It doesn't do that anymore. But, yeah, it's amazing, you know, what Barry Odom's done in 2 years. I just got done writing. It's the first time they've won 10 games in 40 years, and during those 40 years, they've averaged 3.7 wins. And since he's got here, they've won 19, including 10 this year. So he's done a remarkable job turning it in a blink, and it's a lot of people. I don't know about Boise. I'm sure they're excited, too, but they're really excited out here for it.
Yeah, the first game, Ashton Gentry, I thought UNLV did a great job on him. And in fact, I think they hurt him, and they hurt him in a way that is still impacting his season. How did they manage to keep him under control in that game, and can they do it again in a rematch?
Yeah, and it was impressive because the 125 came on 33 carries.
Yeah.
So, you know, his longest rush was 16. So that's not Ashton Gentry. You know, we asked them that this week. They, you know, they kind of went with the football cliches of, you know, keeping their eyes on him and gang tackling him and running the ball and focusing on him and all that stuff. But it actually worked. And, you know, they have the defensive player in the year in Jackson Woodard and a linebacker that came from Arkansas. They have a lot of recruits from big-time Power 4 schools that are on that defense, a lot of seniors. And they just did a heck of a job on him. Now, you know, if you tell me on Friday night he goes for 2+, then I might not be surprised because if that's the kind of player he is, and that's the kind of runner he's been. But I thought they did a terrific job, like you said, the first time. And whether they can repeat that or not on the blue turf, I'm not so sure. But I think they'll go in with the same game plan and hope it works.
Yeah, you brought up the blue turf. The game in Vegas versus a game in Boise, very different animal. How much of a concern is that, do you think, for UNLV? They have been decent on the road this season, however.
Yeah, they're 6-0 on the road, and Boise's undefeated at home, so, you know, cliche time, something's got to give. Someone's going to win, and, you know, either you're going to get the first road loss or first home loss. So they've been very good on the road. They've won in bad conditions on the road. I think it's supposed to be about 40 degrees there on Friday night. With I don't think any rain or snow is in the forecast, but they won in a really just a downpour at San Jose that was just ridiculously bad. They won in a bad rainstorm in Hawaii. So I don't think, you know, they'll go in feeling that weather won't bother them. Now, cold is cold, so we'll see. And, you know, I think Boise kids will be more prepared for that than others. And they're so good at home that we'll have to see how UNLV responds to it. But I don't think the weather would bother them, and they've been really, really good on the road. They won at Houston. They won at Kansas. You know, again, the San Jose State game was a downpour they won in. So they've kind of been in a lot of situations where they've succeeded at.
Barry Odom done a great job. Obviously had success in the last couple seasons. What makes him go? What's the secret sauce with Odom?
You know, he'll tell you it's his he's got a really good staff, and his coordinators are very good. They're always up for awards. You know, Brendan Marion runs that go-go offense, and Barry kind of says that it's about his staff. But I just think he does a really good job of keeping their feet grounded and in the moment. They're a team that, you know, he harps on them, you know, don't worry about what you can't control. Keep your feet where you are. Don't look beyond the next game. And they've kind of bought into all those cliches. They've kind of embraced that. And winning helps. When you win, you know, you're going to listen to the guy. And he's won 2 straight years, so they're going to listen to anything he has to say. But, you know, he keeps it very simple with them. Doesn't, you know, not a lot of hyperbole with them. He keeps it really simple. And he's got a really good staff. His special teams coordinator is one of the best in the country. They're some of the best special teams in the country. Like I said, they run the go-go offense, which is kind of this unique offbeat offense from Brendan Marion. And their defense has improved over the year. So I just think he's a really good head coach. You know, he's at Missouri for 4 years as a head coach there, had some good seasons there, took him to a bowl for the first time in some years. You know, and you know, that didn't work out in the end for him. He was fired in 2019. He spoke about that the other night after he got emotional speaking about that after the game the other night. It was 5 years to the day when he was fired at Missouri after they won their 10th game here. So I think he's happy here. But as I write for tomorrow, when you win this much in this short a time, people are going to start looking at you.
Yeah, I think you always worry about losing a coach like that who has had success. This is a weird season for UNLV, and people may remember it started with a quarterback who several weeks into the season just said, hey, I don't like my NIL deal, and I'm leaving. Can you go back to that pivot point? Like, what was the glue? Was it Odom? Was it that the locker room had culture? What was the glue that kept that roster and that locker room together amid what would have, I think, divided a lot of other places?
They've got an incredible leader in this Jackson Woodard kid, the linebacker, and I think he kept them together, and I think he's the captain, and he's the glue of the team. And the other thing is they had two quarterbacks, Matt Sluka, who left because of the NIL deal, and then the kid they have now, Haj Malik Williams, who were really close in camp. It wasn't like Sluka was just exponentially better, and you're like, uh-oh, what if we get to the backup? I mean, they were very close. So I think when Haj Malik went in and they continued to win, it was much easier for them to buy into, okay, you know, we're going to keep going forward here, and that didn't matter, and if he wanted to leave, he could leave. Whereas if Haj Malik went in and they had lost games, it might have been different, but he didn't. He's a very, very good quarterback, and he had to sit the first three games because of Sluka, but he's been on point ever since. So I think that helped out a lot that they had a quarterback that could go right to and continue winning games. Had that not been the case, it might have gone south.
Give me an idea of, you know, the difference between UNLV winning this game on Friday night and, you know, earning a potential college football playoff berth, and the feeling that Vegas would have over that versus maybe losing the game and knowing that, hey, they're that close, but, you know, go fish next season.
Yeah, I mean, if they win, I can't imagine what it's going to be like if they win and get in. And, you know, there is a group of five going to get in. I do think it's a play-in game on Friday night. I think the winner goes, and, you know, if it's UNLV, I think they'd be the 12 seed. If it's Boise, I think they'd get a bye, you know, because they're going to be that far away from each other in the rankings. But if they win here, you know, again, I wasn't here, obviously, during the Final Four times. I don't think it'd be quite like that, but I do think the town would go pretty crazy if they were in the college football playoff leading up to it and in that game. And if they don't, then they probably go to the L.A. Bowl and play someone like Cal. I think they would think, you know what, Barry Odom's got it on track. You know, no longer going to win three games a season. You know, they're going to be in position to win 9-10 games a season if he's still here. And they'd be really happy with that. I mean, for so long, as you know, this program suffered. They couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't beat anybody. They went through coaches like crazy. And now they've found stability in Barry Odom. And I think if he stays, whether they get to the playoff or not, the town will be really happy with kind of the direction of things, the way they're going.
Ed Graney, columnist, Las Vegas Review-Journal, is our guest. Ed, the Pac-12's mission long-term, 2026 and beyond, is to get the best of the rest in one conference and make it undoubtedly the fifth-best conference and in some years the fourth-best. We're seeing the Mountain West do that right now. The Boise State, San Diego State contingent leaving. It looks to me like if you're the Pac-12 and you could grab UNLV, Memphis, and Tulane, you got a really good basketball conference, and your conference champion is going to get in the playoff every year. Is UNLV still listening, or did the door in your mind close when the Mountain West sort of held back the leftover schools?
I think the door closed when they offered the incentives financially and otherwise to UNLV. I think that when they offered them that much money and the incentives of, you know, the league office maybe moving to Vegas and them giving them incentives, I think the door closed. I know they thought about it hard, but they, you know, they tried to make the best deal for themselves, and I think UNLV closed the door on that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how these leagues shake out. I think, you know, it was interesting to see how Mountain West teams played against the Oregon States and Washington States of this season. And I think the Mountain West, at least the Mountain West teams that are staying, you know, liked a lot of those results. Not that that's going to prove anything for the future, but, you know, I think that they liked a lot of those results this year to kind of say, hey, you know, we're not going to be that much worse, or we're going to be better than you are. I can't speak for Memphis and Tulane, but I think for UNLV, speaking for them, I think the door closed, and I think they're going to be in the Mountain West.
The Oakland A's. I want to pivot here. They've got, I saw the story out of Vegas today where the, you know, the estimates on this new stadium or the projections of the budget for the stadium are over budget. That's going to create some issues there with financing and who's paying for it. I still don't know. Can you help us out with what's going on or how people in Vegas are viewing the arrival of the A's? Is it still on schedule? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? You tell me.
I don't think that there's the overall overwhelming feeling for the A's, as you and I talked the last time. It hasn't changed at all. You know, the financing, he came out in a letter and said he's got $1.1 billion, John Fisher. He's got $350 coming from the state, and that still doesn't equal what he needs now, and they haven't even put a shovel in the ground for the 175, and you and I both know that's going to go up. So, you know, the funding is still, in my mind, a big issue here as to where it's all going to come from and where it's, you know, where how they're going to create this, you know, the funding to get this thing done. But if you're asking the overall temperature of Vegas, you know, I think it's crazy. I think they're more in tune with what's happening now, with the Golden Knights being in first place, with UNLV football being like this, UNLV basketball has started up. I don't hear anyone on a daily basis talk about the A's. I just don't. And maybe because they just foresee it as so far away that it's not worth talking about now. They read the stories in the paper about the funding. But I don't feel any temperature about the A's whatsoever with the people I talk to in town. They never, when I'm asked about UNLV, or not UNLV, but when I'm asked about Las Vegas sports, you know, the A's never come up in conversation. It's always about other teams.
I saw that story today, and I thought, John Fisher's not going to pay for that. And I go, people in Vegas, you know, as ambitious as they are and as much as the average person there supports sports, I don't see people in Vegas having a big appetite to say, hey, yeah, we'll pay for that stadium. We'll help make up, you know, what will be probably $500 million shortfall.
No, I mean, they got what they got from the state, and that's all they're going to get, which I think is the 350 number, that they're not going to get any more than that. And he's going to need more than that. Now, he says he's got, you know, he says he's got the 1-1, and he says he's going to have a loan from Goldman Sachs, and that's how he's going to make this go. But I'll believe that when I see it.
Right.
You know, they gave $750 to the Raiders. Now they're giving $350 to the A's. I believe, you know, I'm going to believe the funding when I see it. They have all these meetings with the stadium authority boards, and Fisher writes his letters and says what he has. But again, there isn't a shovel in the ground just yet, and they're going to Sacramento for 3 years at least. And, you know, I think it's just so far away, I don't even think of those terms anymore about the A's.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you came from San Diego to Vegas, for people who don't know. And, you know, I think what has happened after you've arrived in Vegas is amazing. I mean, look, how much that city has changed from a sports columnist standpoint?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, when we got here, it was literally, you know, we've talked, it was UNLV basketball was the pro team in town. I mean, that was a team. UNLV football wasn't any good. There were no pro teams in town. UNLV basketball was it, and that's when Lon Kruger kind of had them winning again, going to the tournament on a consistent basis. So that was really the only thing in town going on that people paid attention to. And now the Raiders, the Golden Knights were the first ones in. They'll always be beloved for that, the Raiders. UNLV football being at this level is really good for the town. And, you know, that it puts the onus on UNLV basketball to try to create something here. I mean, they haven't been to the tournament since 2013. Think about that. UNLV having that kind of drought for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it's on Coach Kruger and his staff to get things going on that end of things. And if they do, we both know how, you know, this town responds to good college basketball from the home team. So if you ever had UNLV football winning at this rate, combined with the UNLV basketball team going to the NCAA tournament, that would be really something for this town in terms of how they'd respond to it.
How do you like UNLV's shot on Friday night in Boise?
I think they've got a shot. I everything's about odds out here, and that
right.
The pros went to them right away. It went 6.5 to 5 to 4 to, you know, consensus really fast. So I think they're going to be in it. I think it's much harder than Allegiant, and they lost at Allegiant against these guys to go there and to win because very few people do. But I think they're going to be in it. I don't know if it's going down to the last drive, but I think they're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter and they'll have a chance to win. And like I said, Now that the loss came to Memphis for Tulane, I think the winner of this goes. I think UNLV goes, they're 12 playing a 5, and I think if Boise goes, they're going to get a bye.
Ed Graney, I appreciate you, man. Have some fun out there, I'll catch up with you down the road.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, there he goes, Ed Graney in Vegas. All right, great stuff there. UNLV played Boise State tough that first time in Vegas. I like Boise State in this game, but I agree with Graney. I think it's a one-score game in the third and fourth quarter. So I think in the second half, you know, UNLV will be in this game. The stuff about the A's, though, is fascinating to me. And I can't figure out for the life of me if I want the A's to move to Portland or not. Bear with me. Because, you know, if you're taking the A's, you're getting John Fisher. You're getting the owner. You're getting the guy who wouldn't sell the team, refused to sell the team in Oakland, ran it into the ground, and is now jimmy-jacking around in Vegas saying, I've got the money, I've got the loan, I'm good for it. But really what he wants is he wants city and state officials to step up and pay that shortfall. The stadium budget came in at $1.7 billion, came in over budget. And so Fisher is saying, hey, we've got 1.1, and the city is in the state of putting in $350 million. They are short. And so you know darn well the minute they start building, it's not going to be 1.7. It'll end up around closer to 2 probably. So it's $2 billion for the stadium. Fisher doesn't want to pay for that. And so he's either, I think, going to end up going back to Oakland, going to play a couple seasons in Sacramento. This is horrible for baseball, by the way. Or he's going to have to find another site, Salt Lake City or Portland. Now, I think it's a win either way for Portland if Vegas doesn't happen. Either you get a team, albeit with John Fisher, or Salt Lake City takes the A's, and now Portland, smiling, shining, is the option in the western part of the United States for expansion. You're not in a competition with Salt Lake City anymore. So keep an eye on that. But, you know, today I tweeted out, you know, Portland's got open arms. And I had a lot of people say, you don't want John Fisher. We don't want John Fisher. You don't want John. You don't want the owner. And that's a real consideration if you are the Portland Diamond Project. Do you just take the team because, you know, a bird in the hand, right? Better than two in the bush. Or do you play a little bit of poker here, let Fisher go to Salt Lake City and go, arms wide open for expansion, baby. Think about that. Coming up, we're going to give you the big splash and a horrible idea by Major League Baseball.